of the best parts of the Christmas season is the Christmas music. These songs paint pictures of what Christmas has been and what Christmas could be. There are also many great truths contained in these songs. Truths about Christmas, truths about the world and us, and truths about Jesus. Join us this December as we unpack some of our favorite Christmas songs in a series called Christmas Playlist.
Welcome to Northgate. Good to have you here this morning. We get like really bad weather and then we sing, "Oh, come all you faithful." I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but feel free to give yourself an applause for being here this morning. Okay, three of you, thank you. I'm proud of you for being here. I don't begrudge the people that decided not to come, but I do applaud those of you that did. And thank you for being here, for sharing in this together. Because you can debate about when Christmas season starts, right? People like to do that. Does it start when the first snowfall comes or right after Thanksgiving or December 1st? For me, I think it starts the first time you come in here and it looks like this and we get to sing those songs together and you see the lobby and the stage and man, it's beautiful. And I love being together and there's such good energy around that as we jump into the Christmas season together. And we're going to do that in this series called Christmas Playlist. We're going to look at some of those as we jump in because there's so many great parts of Christmas. There are so many things that we love. There are things like great family traditions or great traditions that you have with your friends or people that you spend this time of year with. Today is actually one that Amy and I started on December 1st, 2005. We had just gotten engaged and we both took December 1st off and we made it our official start to the Christmas season. We got the tree, we put everything up, we did all the decorations, we watched Christmas movies, made cookies, you know, got peppermint mochas at Starbucks, all that stuff. And we did that and we said, hey, we're going to do this every year. And someday we'll have kids that love this day, that come to look forward to this day. And so this is our 15th year of doing that. This is actually, and don't feel bad for me because I love to preach, but I just went through, this is the first December 1st I've worked since 2004. I was going back through and figuring it out, but I love the opportunity to get to be here with you. And so we do that, and that's a big tradition in our family. Our kids get new Christmas pajamas that they can wear for the month, and we can post a picture of them all wearing cute pajamas that match, and that's fun. They get an ornament from something that's happened this year that kind of, you know, brings the year together, and we put everything up, and we go through last year's ornaments and the year before, and we say, oh, remember the year you learned to ride a bike, and this was your ornament that you got, and it's a fun tradition. It's one of the many great parts of Christmas. I love Christmas movies, right? Who's already watched a Christmas movie this season? You got at least one under your belt? All right, good. There's some on Disney Plus. We just watched one of those. But I love the movies. I love you wait, right? You can't watch Home Alone in August, all right? You can't. You can't do it. You got to wait until this month, and you can jump into stuff like Elf and Home Alone and Jingle All the Way, which is underrated. Or I love seeing the lights. I live in a neighborhood where almost everybody decorates. It's funny, we actually had one person that never did and they just moved out and the new people put up lights and I said, welcome to the neighborhood, it is good to have you here. And we live at the bottom of a hill, so when I drive in at night and I see all the lights, and I love it, it just fills your heart with a warmth that really only happens at this time of year. But to me, and I think probably to many of you, Christmas music is one of the very best parts of Christmas. Hearing these songs, singing these truths, few things bring the excitement, bring the nostalgia, bring the joy of our favorite Christmas songs. I have got a Christmas Spotify playlist that is straight fire, and I don't touch it 11 months a year, right? 11 months a year, I just let it sit there, very disciplined, and then on that 12th month, I get after it. Some of you might remember, if you've been here for a little bit, in 2014, we did a Christmas series that was called The Reason We Sing. You know, we do a Christmas series every year, right? It just keeps coming up. Like, we do one every year. 2014, we did one called The Reason We Sing, and we looked at some of the classic Christmas hymns. O Holy Night, Silent Night, O Come All Ye Faithful, and Joy to the World. Some of you might remember that series, and we unpacked the truths in there. Well, in Christmas Playlist, we're going to take a look at some different songs, some a little bit newer, although not all super new songs. I mean, we're going to see in these songs, despite some of them being from a secular perspective, despite them not being these like long songs of the church that we've sung at Christmas every year, we're going to see these themes of hope and peace and joy communicated through those lyrics. And we're going to begin week one today with a song that you just heard during the message intro video. You heard part of that. And that was Someday at Christmas, which is one of my personal favorites. Now, if you're familiar with the song, it was first released by Stevie Wonder in 1967, which was a few years ago. And then just 4 years ago, Stevie Wonder and Andra Day, they teamed up to re-release the song. It was on an Apple commercial, if you remember that. And I love this song for so many reasons. One is because Stevie Wonder's almost 70 and he's still got his fastball, man. He can still sing, can he? He can still belt it out. But I love the truth and the hope that is contained in these lyrics. Just look at some of them. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. It said, "Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free." Oh, there's a lot in there. Some of you just find hope in one warm December, right? You're hoping for that. Just give me one warm December. It goes on to say, "Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars. When we've learned what Christmas is for, when we've found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday at Christmas, man will not fail. Hate will be gone. Love will prevail. Someday, a new world that we can start with hope in every heart." Have you ever longed for something? Have you ever had a longing for something? I've always eaten Thanksgiving dinner early, like earlier in the day. This year, we were with Amy's family, and her brother had to work, and so we were waiting for him to get home, and we didn't eat till like 6 o'clock, and man, I was longing for that Thanksgiving dinner by then, right? I mean, we ate at halftime of the Bills game, which was perfect, but I was sitting there, I'm like, man, it smells, you've been smelling the turkey and ham and everything all day, and I could not wait to eat. I was longing to eat. Some of you are longing for the Bills to make the playoffs again, maybe to win a playoff game. More seriously, at this time of year, a lot of people long to go home, right? You long to go home, whether it's for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and maybe home is a place you can still go, or maybe it is not. Many people, they long for a relationship that they don't have, especially at this time of year, or for a relationship that they don't have anymore. Sometimes people long for good things, things that would be beneficial to them. And sometimes people long for things that wouldn't ultimately benefit them in the long run. But I think each of us, we have an idea of what it feels like to have that sense of longing. And that's the truth of this song that speaks so much to me, is that the world inherently longs for heaven to come to earth. The world has this longing for heaven to come to earth. All of us, people who know Christ and people who do not, have a longing for heaven to come to earth. We go through difficulties, we experience pain, we encounter injustice, we walk through things that we know are not right, things that are not as they should be. We realize that these are the product of living in a fallen, broken world. And we say there has to be more. We realize that at some point, right? Some people have a specific time where they realize there's got to be more than this. We're sitting in a funeral home. We're standing next to a hospital bed. We get a phone call that shatters our world and we think, this just isn't right, God. There's got to be more than this. Now, to be clear, this is not a distinctly Christian song. But for me, that makes me appreciate these truths in here even more. Because the world, full of people, many of whom do not have a relationship with Jesus, full of people who have not made God the Lord over their life, with some people who would even say they don't believe in heaven, yes, even that world has an inherent longing for heaven to come to earth. And that's what this song is about. It's looking at the wrongs of the earth and it's saying, come on, there's got to be something better than this. There has to be more. There has to be a time when things will finally be right with the world. There has to be a time with no more wars or no more heartbreak, no more tears, where there's peace on earth and there's hope in the hearts of people. There's got to be a time where people finally get it. And guess what? They're right. There is. It's coming. But heaven isn't just coming to earth in the future. Heaven's already come to earth once. Heaven has already been here. This is Christmas. This is the essence of the beautiful truths that we sang earlier. The King of Heaven has come down, and all of heaven came with him. And Christmas is this annual celebration and remembrance of when life came down, or when love came down, of when heaven broke into earth and it changed everything. In the Gospel of John, he puts it this way in John 1:14, where he tells us the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, which is God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. As Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message, the Word became flesh and blood and moved in to the neighborhood. So God, he became a human being with flesh, and that's Jesus. And he came to earth to live with us. Don't gloss over how incredibly amazing that is just because it's something that you already knew. And that's what happened on Christmas. On Christmas, God came to be with us. Heaven came to earth. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Matthew, in his gospel, he is pointing back to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And he's using his words and he's saying, this is what happened. God is now with us. Because prior to that point, heaven and earth had been running on these parallel tracks. But then the heavenly track, it turned and it intersected with earth. And as we know, nothing has ever been the same since then. Nothing's been the same since heaven came to earth the first time. We'll cover this more in depth later in the series, but if Jesus' arrival on earth does not inform and transform your entire life, you can have all the holiday songs and traditions in the world, it's going to ultimately be hollow and meaningless. And I don't assume for a second that just because you come on a Sunday morning, even a Sunday morning where the weather's bad, means that you are definitely a Christian. You're definitely somebody who's living with their life given and submitted to Jesus Christ and trying to follow him. But we need to be. Heaven came to earth and nothing will ever be the same again. And that needs to include you and it needs to include me. Because here's this great hope that we have. Not just that heaven came to earth once, but also that heaven will come to earth again. That's our great hope, that heaven will come to earth again. That the intersecting of heaven and earth is not over. It didn't end when Jesus disappeared into the clouds. It will happen again. Jesus' birth, he brought hope into a world that was weary from waiting. And the world continues to be weary from waiting over 2,000 years later for him to return. But hope never goes out of style because there is incredible power in hope. There's so much power in hope because hope doesn't mean that you've made it. Hope just means that you believe you will. And that for us, that is the delicate balance of the life of a Christ follower. That we live in this time of what's commonly called already, but not yet. Because heaven has already come to earth once, but it has not yet come again. But we know that it will. And we know that the longing that we talked about earlier for things to be right, for justice to prevail, for heartbreak to end, that will come. Again, John, this time in Revelation, paints one of the more beautiful pictures in the entire Bible in Revelation 21:3-4, where he said, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Does that sound good to anyone? Does that sound like something worth longing for to anybody? I was recently talking to a friend that was hurting. Somebody had gone through something really bad, a brutal thing. They'd been given much too close of a picture of the incredible brokenness and pain of the world around us. And they said, "It just doesn't feel real." And I thought for a little bit. And my response was, you know, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. People shouldn't have to experience pain and anguish like this. And that's what makes us long for heaven. The fractured and evil parts of the world, they make our hearts and our souls long for something better, to long for something more. And I'm here to tell you today that when we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ, that we can have the assurance of heaven. We have the assurance of what everyone else is just hoping for right now. 1 John says we can know that we have eternal life. We can know that our hope is more than just some vague desire that hopefully someday things will get a little bit better. But for those of us who know that, for those of us who are what I refer to as Christ followers, we have a job to do between now and then. Are there times when maybe you just want to shut out the world around you? You want to ignore everything and everyone else, and you just want to say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Sure, of course, there are times like that. And it is fine to be eagerly anticipating and awaiting that day when heaven will come to earth again. But our job, our calling is not just to wait and watch. Because we know that heaven has come to earth. And we know that someday it will again. And in the meantime, our job is to bring a bit of heaven to earth right now. That's our job in the meantime. That's why we don't get to just hunker down and lay low and play it safe. We've got work to do. Now, let me ask you a question. This is a real question. It's not rhetorical, so I'm going to stand here until somebody answers. Who is the light of the world? Jesus, all right, that's good. That's good, Sunday, right? Jesus always the right answer. I mean, you're right. Jesus, in some places, did say, I am the light of the world, but it's not actually what he said in Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, he says, you are the light of the world. And then he goes on and says, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Who's the light of the world? You are. We are, all of us. So what do we need to do? Well, this says if we're the light of the world, we have to let our light shine before others. And then I love it. It gives the conclusion right there. What will happen when we do that? They'll see your good deeds and they'll glorify God in heaven. Man, you want an easy plan for keeping Christ in Christmas? Look at that right there. Let your light shine in the world so that the people around you can see a bit of heaven on earth right now. That is Christmas. It's a beautiful picture. Find a way to be a blessing this Christmas. Surprise someone. Love someone. Care for people. Now, we as a church, we try to be a light. But guess what? That only works when we are made up of hundreds of lights, right? And as we go out into the community, as you see these cars go out and some go north and some go south and people go to Monroe County and Orleans County and Wyoming County and some of you stay in Genesee County, we try to be a light, but it only happens when these lights go all over. And we just saw this demonstrated last week with our great day of giving. If you are not a Pit Stop Post reader, I'm so excited to be able to share with you that the great day of giving last week brought in over $23,000 that you guys have given that we can now be a blessing to nonprofits and to Free Methodist World Missions and also to capital projects here. It's incredible. And what I always check on this, because this makes me so proud of you guys, not just that you're generous, but that happened on a week when we were almost $3,500 over on the budget for our regular giving, because people say, hey, tithes and offerings, I'm giving those, right? That's it. But then when we have something on top, they say, I'm going to be a blessing to people even on top of that. Absolutely incredible. So we as a church, we try to be a light in our community, in our world. But what can you personally do to be a light? I'll give you a couple things. We partner with Salvation Army here in Batavia. It's an incredible organization, and there's a few of us here at Northgate that are on the advisory board there, and we get to see what an incredible job they do loving our community all year long, but especially during the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons. You already know, most of you, I think almost all the slots, if not all the slots, are full for bell ringing here. But if you do want to ring bells, trust me, they have more opportunities. You can call them directly. Hopefully you already know about the Angel Tree program where you can buy gifts for a child in Genesee County that is likely not going to have a Christmas unless you do that. Northgate is a huge supporter of this program. Yesterday when I said it, we had 75 left. This morning I heard we were down to 56, but that would be great if you stop out and grab when things are due next week, and you will be an incredible light in a child's life. You can also call Salvation Army. You could volunteer to help with Adopt a Family, where you not only get some presents for kids, you can help with necessities for the parents as well. You could be a part of their toy drive, their Christmas distribution. If you're worried about your family becoming too self-focused at Christmas, too present-focused at Christmas, I would definitely encourage you, give Brad and Rachel a call at Salvation Army and say, hey, we want to volunteer to make sure that somebody's Christmas is better and more blessed than it would be if we didn't get involved. There's so many ways. There is so much need around us where we can bring heaven to earth right now. But we've got to be mindful about it. We have to be intentional to do it. I had somebody say to me last night here at church, they said, once December 1st hits, the month's over. Right? Does anybody else feel like that? He's like, December 1st, and then you look up and it's New Year's because it flies by. So what would it look like if this week, if you tried, Maybe sitting and listening to someone at work. Maybe finding someone that is not necessarily that valued where you work, and you said, you matter to me because you matter to God. I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen. What would it look like if you reached out to someone that you know would be alone over the Christmas season and you invite them over to have a meal with you or with your family or with friends of yours? What would it look like if you just prayed and you said, God, how can I share this hope that you've given me to a world around me that I know desperately needs hope? Because, man, that's a prayer that God is waiting for us to ask so he can answer. We say, God, show me the need around me so that I can give to that need. I can be a part of spreading hope to that need. He will show you that. Because that's what we have. We have that hope and joy and peace. And it's not just to be filled for ourselves. It's not just to fill up and feel good and walk out of here. It's to be filled to overflowing. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us to do in Romans 15, where he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And why? Why, Paul? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflow to a world around us that desperately needs hope, to a world that is longing for the hope of heaven, even if they don't know what that is, even if they never could or would say that for themselves, because we know what it is they are truly longing for. So let the God of all hope fill you and let that overflow. Take a hold of that hope and hang on to it when the brokenness of the world makes you want to give it up. Not because we're that good, not because we're that strong, not because we're that faithful, but as Hebrews 10:23 says, we hold to unswervingly to that hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Friends, the world longs for hope. The world longs for heaven to come to earth. And it has, and it will again. And every day between now and then, we can be a part of bringing heaven to earth.